Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our sustainer, provider, cherisher and nourisher, master of the day of judgment. Peace and peace and blessings upon Nabi Akram, Noor-e-Mujassam, Shah-e-Bani Adam, Ahmad-e-Mukhtar, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam, upon his illustrious family and noble companions, Alayhi Muridwan. Welcome, dear viewers, in the company of our Honorable Ziyad Madani Hafidhahullah, MashaAllah. We welcome our Honorable Mulana Sahib and our viewers of Madani Channel. And in today's episode and program, you are to listen to a very important discussion, Keep Marriage Simple. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We together have discussed situations that people face in marriages, dear viewers. We discussed proposal itself as to how proposals come about, Mulana Sahib, and the wrongs that may occur when proposals do come, dear viewers. What are the do's and don'ts? Then we discussed engagement, mashallah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, in our last week's discussion. And in engagement as well, the wrongs that happen and the things that we should avoid during engagements, we discussed that, alhamdulillah. After which we went into nikah itself. And subhanallah, this great sunnah of our aqa and master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which unites two different people from two different worlds, subhanallah. This union is a great union, dear viewers. And many people who wish to perform nikah, subhanallah, always should desire to follow in the footsteps of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to keep your nikah spiritually uplifted, mashallah, to receive benefits and barakah in your marriage, alhamdulillah. So how do you keep your marriage simple? Inshallah, azza wa jalla, many more madani pearls. And all of this is only in order for us to rectify our marriages, dear viewers. Alhamdulillah, for those who are currently married, and for many years that you have been married, many people are still in search for peace, Mulana Sahib, in their marriages. Though 15, 20, 30, 40 years have passed in their marriages, but many of them are still in search for inner peace and sukoon. And the reason why you do get married, if you even look at the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Bibi Hawa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, this union of a male and female being together is in order for a person to overcome the difficulties of this dunya with a partner that you may have. And then you pass time like that, Mulana Sahib, by having children, you become a grandfather. And then subhanallah, all of this is for the dunya so that you don't become bored. But with this, which is the trend of the dunya of getting married, together with that, the idea is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ultimate maqsad and mission in a marriage is to attain Allah's closeness, Mulana Sahib, so that you don't become bored in the dunya, you don't become lonely in the world, you have a partner to speak to, you have a partner to discuss matters with, subhanallah. And this partner is the partner that keeps you away from Jahannam, Mulana Sahib. They would help each other. So, yes, dear viewers, how do we attain this maqam in your marriages? Jihan, how do we attain and how do we gain this inner peace and sukoon in our marriages is what we are discussing. So please stay with us until the end of today's program. And inshallah, azza wa jalla, if you have any questions, you can always ask us via the social media. Let's get back directly to the nikah part of it, mashallah. And Mulana Sahib, we do require more madani pearls in relation to how do we keep our marriages simple. If we look around us, alhamdulillah, there are marriages, which I even mentioned last week, I know of marriages that lasted for a week or two. You know, every 5-6 days, there are thousands of people that are called, and alhamdulillah, the niyat is good. But at the same time, there's a lot of extravagance in marriages, from the decor, to the food, to the hall, to the guests coming, to the clothes that people wear. And all of this is only for that one moment, after which it's packed for 10, 15, 20 years, it's never looked at again. So, how do we keep, and why? The question is, why should we even have a simple marriage? What is the blessings of having a simple marriage? Because ultimately, anyone who wants to get married, he wants to get married to see blessings in his life. But if the very beginning and inception of his nikah commences against the Sunnah of Rasulullah SAW, not upon the Sunnah of Nabi Akram SAW, then how does he even see blessings and barakah in his marriage? Can Mawlana Sahib direct us and guide us as to how should a marriage be in the first place, Mawlana Sahib?
Subhanallah, Azawajal. MashaAllah, I see the question is focused more on the nikah part of it,
yes,
itself, the wedding itself. And that indeed should be simple. In fact, that's where the topic name has come from, the keep marriage simple. From the very beginning, we should look at the blessing of simplicity. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned very beautifully in a blessed hadith that the best of marriages is that which has the least burden in it.
Okay.
That which is the least burdensome. And that is what we are looking for when we are looking at nikah. We are looking for a nikah that is not burdensome on either party, that is manageable, that is easy. And so, if we consider that it will be less burden, if we don't have to, you know, prepare too much of a menu, if we don't have to worry too much on extravagance in decor, too much on extravagance in any part of it, and that becomes less burdensome, then that is what we need to be heading towards. Unfortunately, the trend is that nikahs nowadays are quite burdensome, and no matter which, you know, level of wealth you are in, it's burdensome even for that level. So you have people that are very wealthy, but the nikah costs them so much that after the nikah, they need some time to, you know, to unwind, to come back into their normal standard of living because they've spent so much of their savings on nikah itself. And an unfortunate trend I also want to mention that we're seeing with this nowadays is that since we have made nikah so burdensome, we've made it so extravagant. Number one is we know the amount of wastage that takes place. May Allah protect us. Wastage is indeed very bad. It's something from shaitan, and Allah Ta'ala does not like wastage. At the same time, with us having become so extravagant in weddings, since we want decor to be in a certain way, and lighting to be in a certain way, and photography to be in a certain way, and the seating should be in a certain way, and the kinds of foods that we should serve, it's got to be a 7-course menu. You know, there was a point at which we'd say, 1-course menu, and then we had 3-course menu, and it's gone to 5, and now we're going to 7, and it goes beyond that. When we attend weddings, you'll see the menu on the table as well. I'm not saying that is bad that you're giving so much. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. However, I've been invited to nikahs as well, and Mawlana Sahib must have been invited to, and many of our viewers of Madin Channel were invited to nikahs. Here in South Africa, I can speak from, that we see the trend that when an invitation is given to us, then it's given with a number of people that should come. And we do know that, let's say for example, if you have a family of, let's just call it for example, 4 people or 5 people, where you have a husband and a wife, and let's say 3 children, if we said 5. Then the nikah invitation has 2 written on it. Now comes the difficult question that when only 2 can attend the nikah, so husband and wife are expected to attend, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, you are expected to attend, where do they leave their children? And I think this goes past many of us, that where do we expect for people to leave their children in that time? Now let's say we have the good assumption that it might have been a little difficult for them to manage to cater for everyone. Maybe the budget was a little bit tight. Therefore, they had to limit the number of people that could attend that function, which is very understandable, especially in our current society where the cost of living is quite high, things are quite expensive. But when you attend such a nikah, then unfortunately you find that I'm attending, 2 were invited, I had to find some way to keep my children in that case, and some people would not attend just because they couldn't bring their children along. And now when you sit at such a nikah and then you see beautiful deco, expensive, 7-course meal, so many different things, and then you wonder, how many people are seated here that had to leave loved ones at home, had to leave their children at home, had to leave a parent who they were staying with at home, and had to leave so many people, and they themselves attend alone instead. Well, so much of extravagance was gone through here. Could we not have, maybe instead of a 7-course meal, had a 5-course meal and allowed people to bring their children with? Instead of having a 5-course meal, have a 4-course meal and, you know, allow for someone else's, someone's parent to be able to attend, or some other family member to be able to attend. Now, if these people were distant and it was understandable that, you know, they couldn't manage to cater, we'd understand. But sometimes they are very close family members. They are close people that are being left out, that if you're invited to, you know, a cousin's wedding, you're invited to a sibling's wedding, and now you need to leave your children behind or leave your spouse and attend yourself, it does create some difficulty. And now those family members that were left behind, they're not going to look very positively towards that marriage as well. They're going to say, later on, they're going to say, but I wasn't even invited for that wedding. Only my example, the wife wasn't invited, husband was invited. Only my husband was invited.
Right.
Or only my parents were invited. We were not invited. We had to find somewhere to be in the meantime. So this is already a very negative stance that we're getting our loved ones to look at our marriage with. Whilst if we adopted simplicity, a little while ago in South Africa, we had that trend that even if it meant we were serving dal gosht and rice, we would serve dal gosht and rice and you would have all of the family members invited. And what a beautiful environment that would be. How much of mahabba you'd find, you know, people are happy with each other and people are happy for each other. And nowadays we have limited amounts of people and such extravagance, and then you find so much of negativity from the family members themselves towards the marriage. And the other thing is the people that we invite as well. We can keep it simple and invite those who are close to us. Let's say we wanted to keep it very simple and we invited those that are close to us. Alhamdulillah. But we invite those people who are of high, you know, caliber in society and those who expect a lot, and they come and they complain about how less the salt was and how this wasn't nice and that wasn't nice. So we put so much of money into this and we invited just the wealthy. Whereas Rasulullah ﷺ said that the worst type of feast is that feast in which only the wealthy are invited and the poor is left out. So we leave out the poor, unfortunately, just the trend in society, not picking or pointing at any person in specific. We leave out the poor and only invite the wealthy, who will come there scrutinizing everything and complaining about everything. Whereas if we invited beloved people, close relatives, we invited the poor, we'll have a different environment. Now people come and they're appreciative there. In fact, if there's something short, they're trying to cover. But now we've invited only those people who, when there's something short, they will make sure that they announce it. That within the food, the saffron was a bit less. Where are they keeping their money? They can't put enough saffron in the soji and in the rice. This mentality we are bringing in. Well, if we adopted the simplicity Rasulullah ﷺ taught us, we won't have any of these difficulties.
Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah. I think a very good solution Maulana Sahib has introduced. And Maulana Sahib has made mention of. And it's my naqis mashwara as well. We should look into this, Maulana Sahib. You know,
absolutely.
I always wondered what would be the solution for such a problem, you know. Whereas you want to take your children, or maybe the inviter, the host himself, wants to invite the children. Maybe he never thought about this. You can reduce the amount of food that you cook, or the causes that you're going to give. And you'd rather focus on the number of people that you can invite, because to make happiness enter into the hearts of others is the best ibadat after your faraid, Mulana Sahib. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another thing I have noticed also, Mulana Sahib, people have expectation from the rich.
Right.
Jo maldar hota, and if he has a simple nikah, people say, yo, he did not spend money according to his capacity, you know.
Right, right.
I have seen a very rich person who had a very simple nikah. Actually, it looked it was not expected from such a person to have such a simple nikah.
Subhanallah.
People never even knew, was this a nikah or what? That's how simple he kept it. But the sad part was that from others, when we heard afterwards, people, there was a notion of, you know, how can a person have such a simple nikah? There was no mistakes in it, but the idea was that he wanted somebody great to perform the nikah, from the tongue of a great personality to make the ijab qabool, you know, of an acceptance.
Alhamdulillah.
And his niyyah was an alim edin may do that. So mashallah, that was done. And aside from that, he never spent any money on the hall and deco, yet it was expected from such a personality, right?
Right.
But mashallah, that nikah is so prosperous, Mulana Sahib.
Alhamdulillah.
And guess what? Both the parties, yani the groom and the bride, both come from wealthy backgrounds. They both could have afforded an extravagant wedding.
Yes.
But what a message to society, Mulana Sahib.
Absolutely.
I think this type of messages we have often seen. I mean, I have seen the nikah of Shehzade Huzoor.
Yes.
What a simple nikah. Have you witnessed it on Madani Channel?
MashaAllah, yes. Mira Lizmet's son's nikah.
Gigi.
How beautiful and how simple. And, you know, for food, in today's, really, Amir Ashnad, if he wanted to serve just by his farman, by his stating, people will be ready to bring seven course meals.
100%.
But simple dal, chawal style, mashallah. Alhamdulillah.
Even Nigrani Shura, Hafidahullah, mashallah, his blessed son also, had followed the same trend of keeping it simple. And in the sunnah of Rasulullah.
Actually, Munasab mentioned now that, you know, people tended to frown upon this. That means a wealthy person chooses that we want a simple nikah, and people frown upon it. They say, you are so wealthy, you were supposed to spend, you didn't spend, what are you being miserly? Firstly, people shouldn't place these kinds of judgments. We are nobody to place judgments on other people, on their generosity or their miserliness. Now, if we look towards that person and think they are miserly, we don't know how much they are giving in the path of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, just think for a moment that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more wealthy than anyone in this world. Any person in this world. Because alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, Allah ta'ala had blessed the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with so much that if he sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted for mountains of gold and silver to follow him, they would do so.
100%.
But he sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted simplicity. So despite having such great means, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself chose simplicity. So how beautiful is it? That shows that simplicity is a beautiful characteristic. It's beautiful in general. But simplicity from the wealthy is even more beautiful.
Kya baat.
So generally, anybody being simple is wonderful. But when you see a wealthy person still being simple, still being humble, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, that is even, it's even more beautiful.
I think the reason for that is because when a person is compelled to have a simple wedding simply because of not having much wealth. So as compared to that, the person who has the means to do so, and he chooses not to.
Right.
So definitely, Mawlana Sahib,
it's setting a trend. And that's what we need to look at. The reason people are saying, like, how come you're not spending? You're actually quite wealthy. It's because we set the wrong trend.
100%.
So I appreciate this, that people who have the ability but they've chosen simplicity, you are resetting the trend, and we need to reset the trend. Reset the trend such that it becomes simple, that simplicity becomes the new trend. When we make simplicity the new trend, especially with regards to nikahs, we will see that many youth will now find it easier to perform nikah. And what's the result of that? The result of youth finding it easier to perform nikah means haram relationships now get cut off. Because you don't have enough excuse to move towards haram relationships. If you ask the youth, I think many parents and elders out there, maybe they don't have the link to the youth to be able to ask them this question. But if you happen to ask youth that, why is it that so many youth are moving towards haram relationships? Why don't you all move towards marriage? Well, the simple answer is that marriage is very expensive. And these haram relationships don't cost as much financially, whilst actually speaking, Islamically, marriage is not expensive. We have made it expensive, but it's not expensive. We're supposed to move back to the way of Rasulullah and make sure that marriage is inexpensive. That, you know, people say cheap, but I don't like the term. Make it 100%. Inexpensive. And then they won't have enough reason to move towards haram when halal is so easily accessible.
Alhamdulillah. And I think the youth of today who have this desire of having an extravagant wedding, they are children, illa mashallah, as I mentioned, they are boys and girls out there who tell their parents, no, Abba, I don't need you to spend all of this money on my marriage. Rather, you give it to me so that I could start my life on a good note.
What a beautiful suggestion.
Wonderful. There are many people that I have met that have mentioned this to me personally, that, you know, Tabriz bhai, I actually opted for this. I asked my father, if you were to spend X amount of money on my marriage, for example, 100,000 rands in our currency, right? And of that, Abba, if you had only spent 10,000 just to make some arrangements and for food and whatever, and give me the balance of that money, so that we could start our life as husband and wife.
Such a beautiful suggestion. You know, instead of the couple now, once they get together, now they need to work hard towards goals. If parents could give them that little boost by, instead of spending so much on the wedding, spend a certain amount. And let them, give them a boost to start off their life. I think that will make it beautiful. And inshallah, azawajal, it will be very rewarding. You'll see your son or your daughter actually becoming prosperous at an early stage instead of having to work hard because you gave them that boost. And also, whilst we're touching on this, I just want to mention as well, nowadays, another trend that we do need to change with regards to the nikah itself and the simplicity itself, mahr amount. we have unfortunately set such high mahar amounts. And for what reason? Unfortunately, many a times the reason is that it's going to be mentioned in front of everyone, make sure the amount is big. Because people will say, you are so wealthy and you're giving 5,000 rands mahar. You could have given 50,000, 100,000 of mahar, of whatever currency, like in South Africa, be it rands. So people tend to put a very high mahar amount because they need to keep in to the standard of society. Really speaking, mahar amount, don't take it just that, you know, sometimes ladies have such high mahar amount as if that's the worth of my daughter. Mm. Really, if a father knows the value of his daughter, he's not going to place it against money. So what are we setting such high mahar amounts that are so difficult for people to pay? Mm. That it must be mentioned after they've drained their pockets and now they got to have the mahar amount mentioned. And that's it, everyone went home and forgot it. Rather, simple mahar amounts. That mahar which is manageable, which is comfortable for the boy's party to be able to pay, or the groom to be able to pay, that's manageable for him, so that you don't place so much of strain. Fathers of the brides, remember, the same person we're trying to place strain on is the same person who is going to head the home in which our daughters are going to. It's the same person who's going to support and help our daughters. So why is it that we're placing such strain on him that tomorrow he has so little that he gives her less? So rather, you set a mahar amount that is manageable, that is within, you know, reasonable limits, that he can say that without much strain, alhamdulillah, I can go towards marriage. I have tried to do the same, and only for the sake of, you know, encouraging youth as well, that within my family, I've seen that, yes, mashallah, within our family, there are people that look up towards us, which we appreciate, and Allah Ta'ala increase them in their husna dhan, in their good thoughts.
Allahumma
but for that specific reason, we have tried to keep mahar amounts very simple.
MashaAllah.
That when people look, we know that people are going to follow suit. So when they look and when they listen, youngsters who are going to attend the nikah should feel that marriage is not difficult. I don't have to have such a high mahar amount. I don't have to give so much. I don't have to make it so extravagant. I can have it simple and I can be married. So we're encouraging youth towards halal.
MashaAllah.
We're encouraging them towards the sunnah. But if we're going to say, no, we need to set it high and we need to make it extravagant, we're making something that's actually simple in Islam look very difficult. And that's going to lead to lots of more wrongs that are going to come into society.
And I think I would second this from this angle, that I wouldn't, though I'm supporting Mawlana Sahib 112% on this matter, right? Ki hum log ek, we want to paint a picture for the youth, right? We're trying to make them understand that it should not be the case that you are delaying your nikah because you don't have that amount of mehr that you want to give.
Yes.
You have that minimum, but you don't want to give minimum because people would talk. People are going to say something. And now you're going to spend another 1 year doing haram, whichever way, simply because you don't have that amount which you look forward to give.
Right.
So that's one thing altogether. But on the other hand, if a person comfortably can afford something extravagant, but on the name of mahar, he wants his wife to enjoy this because this is her haq, Mulana Sahib. You know, there are many sisters out there who will be watching right now and say, that's my haq, that's my right. You know,
alhamdulillah.
They want to use that for themselves.
Alhamdulillah.
And if it's given promptly, you know, on the spot, it's given to the person, to the wife, when the nikah takes place, and this is her haq. If she makes it maaf, it's her thing. There's masla masail related to this, right? However, this should not be delayed, Mawlana Sahib. Mehar should always be given to the wife that you have married because this is an exchange for her. Though there's no price to that. Though there's no price.
But it's a beautiful gift.
It's a beautiful gift to give.
It makes
it
easy for her to come into the marriage. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And I do agree that in the case where mahar amount, let's say for example, you know, it's manageable. That you come from a very wealthy background and you can give a good amount of mahar. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. If, however, we do feel that we want to change the idea of society, we want to make it simple. I used to feel this way that, I'm just sharing now, that sometimes I used to feel the way that if we want to give higher amounts, but we have an aim in society that we want youth to understand that marriage is not a difficult concept, it's actually a simple concept, I'd rather give a smaller amount now and give the rest later when no one's listening. Yeah. Just so that, alhamdulillah, you have your gift. But at the same time, I had a mission that we wanted to let the youth of Islam, the youth among the Muslims know that there are halal alternatives. You don't need to move towards haram when there's a beautiful sunnah for you to move towards. And then again,
I like it. Very
if
nice.
You do have the concept that alhamdulillah, we are wealthy and we want to give it in mahar, there's nothing wrong with it. It's good. In fact, the beautiful mahar-e-fatimi, Mahal of Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, in South African standards, it is quite high already. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So I'd say, if you're going to ask for a high amount, why not just look towards Mahar Fatima with a good intention?
Mm.
With the good intention that Alhamdulillah we're following in suit of the blessed daughter of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyidina Mawla Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and the blessed son-in-law of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But again, if that amount too is a bit difficult for you, then look towards your own standard and don't place very high demands on people. Otherwise, it's going to affect them negatively. Imagine a husband having to come into marriage and then having to say, okay, you want Mahar Fatima, I can manage so much, and then monthly I'm going to pay you off. If she's going to be his wife after all, why place such a heavy demand when he can't manage it?
You know, this world is so big, Mawla. We often get to see things and we often get to hear. And Islam is this beautiful deen that has guided its followers so beautifully. Because in other places that we see, there is so much of demands met. I want a fridge, I want a stove, I want a motorcycle, I want a car, I want a home, I want a bed, and all those stuff that you need in your home, right? They would make this come from the girl side. There are demands in some places, but Alhamdulillah, Islam is that beautiful deen that has protected and saved thousands of people from this calamity and problem. You know why, Mawlana Sahib? Many girls who got married under certain conditions, you know, a list is given from the boy side that after you fulfill this demand, then only the nikah would take place.
Mm.
And in many cases, it has been seen that there's a lot of pressure if that list was not fulfilled prior to the nikah. After nikah, like a time is loaned to the person to make sure by the end of this term, you make sure whatever we had demanded prior to the nikah is given to the groom. And what's noticed is, Mawasab, they are people out there, I'm talking about the wives, the brides, their fathers go through tremendous pressure simply because the husbands become very funny and rude and arrogant. And all of this is because why hasn't your father given what we had demanded before the nikah? But Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, in Islam, in this beautiful deen, yes, abate nahi hai, mashallah. There's no need to demand for all of this. It's simple. In fact, look at Adam alayhi salatu wasalam being in Jannah. Being in paradise, subhanAllah, enjoying the blessings of paradise. What short are you of in paradise? Nothing, dear viewers.
Mm.
And then subhanAllah, when he intended to stretch his hands out to his blessed wife, Bibi Hawa radiallahu anha, the angel said to him, pay her dowry first. And what was the dowry? 10 durood-e paak upon Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just recite 10 salawat upon him, and that is the dowry and the mehr for you, O Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. Yani, our aqa and our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the reason of blessings even then to Mawlana Sahib.
Alhamdulillah.
Through his sadqa and wasila jameela, the blessed dua of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam is being accepted, subhanAllah. And even through his blessings, the nikah and the union of the first couple of this dunya is being accepted, subhanAllah.
MashaAllah. Munasab, on which Munasab mentioned now, I just want to discuss a little here as well, that I did hear of this, that in certain countries we do have these kinds of demands that are placed upon the father of the bride or the family of the bride, that they need to supply certain household things. For example, bed. Sometimes they even have to buy a house and buy a car and buy a cell phone for the groom. Firstly, very, very clearly, it's important that we understand that such a concept is not an Islamic concept.
Mm.
That the husband is now going to place demands upon the family of the wife, that they must now see to him and start him up in life. Secondly, for all the men out there that are viewing, my question as well, that if we are such husbands, that we are going to place demands that a house and car and cell phone and furniture and bed and appliances and all of that must come from the wife and from her family, then what kind of men are we?
Mm.
Are we capable of even looking after our homes in that case? Mm. Or are we going to be those that are going to extend our hands and make demands for others as if we are entitled to it, that they must now support us?
Mm.
We are taking in someone's daughters.
Mm.
You're taking in someone's daughter as your wife.
Mm.
You're taking in someone's sister as your wife. You're taking in someone's, you know, niece as your wife.
And this is what they say, but this is what they also say. They say, the groom side says, that I'm taking your daughter. If you want your daughter to be comfortable, you better make sure that you have to fulfill this list.
Absolutely.
Because your daughter is going to be living with me.
Right.
And if you want her to be happy, so you'd rather give the car that you want your daughter to sit in. You'd rather give that fridge that you want your daughter to benefit from.
So if the daughter was going to get married to someone, is she marrying a man? That's the question. Is she marrying a man who can actually look after her? Is she marrying somebody, you know, just anybody?
But it's a shortcut. They call it a shortcut in life, Munawar Sahib, that the husband doesn't want to work. He wants that everything should be pound for him on a golden plate.
And that is where his laziness is the cause of all of this.
Okay, but if the pressure comes from his father, from the groom's father, example,
then it's for the groom to speak to his father that, oh my father, I am a man, and oh my father, I'm marrying someone, I'm going to look after her. If I'm going to look after her, then these are my responsibilities.
Yeah, boy.
Unfortunately, due to this kind of un-Islamic trend that we've seen or that we've heard of in various parts of the world, it's also sad to say that along with this, I've also heard personally that there are many girls, ladies, Islamic sisters from good families. But due to the poverty of the family, they are unable to get married until very late ages, because they are unable to now provide a house and provide furniture and provide a vehicle and cell phone, etc., for another man.
Just think, but this is wrong, Mama.
If the family themselves are living in a rented house, if the family themselves don't have as much furniture in their homes, how is it that we place such stress on that family to now see to our homes? No.
I just met,
and they do what they need to do.
MashaAllah. I met an Islamic brother from overseas, and I asked him, when are you going to get married? He says, until I buy my house. So I asked him, do you have to buy a home before getting married? Is it a rule in your country or something? And he's like, no, it's a rule of the bright side, that I'm not allowed to rent with the daughter. I have to buy a property first before I rent. So I asked him, how far are you into this? How successful are you so far? He's saying, it's been 3 years and I have failed, but I'm willing to get married. He reached the age of 28 when I seen him. He was around 27, 28. But this again, it made me think that really, how much of Islam has entered into us, Mulana Sahib? The Quran has ordered for us to come into Islam completely. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu dkhulu fi silmi kaffa. But how much into Islam have we entered, Mulana Sahib? How much of Islam has entered into us that we say that we are Muslim, but how practical are we? So many Islamic brothers have committed and have resorted to haram and are living a sinful life simply because it's an easier one. As you just mentioned earlier, nikah is a long story because I got to do all of that from A to Z, and I cannot fulfill those demands at this very moment in time. Who knows? I've just got a relationship with her. Let it continue until a certain time in my life when I know my foothold is firm and I'm strong in my work, in my business, in my money, in my career, then only I would get married. So this is against the norms and against the teachings of Islam, dear viewers. Maulana Sahib had given beautiful Madani pearls in relation to how should we purify our nikah, how should we keep it simple. And there are so many other solutions. But the demand that comes from within, especially from the couples, who know that my father is weak, my father isn't so financially strong and stable. If you as a daughter know that my father cannot take the burden of my nikah, and you can see your father is working very hard for your nikah, I think it should be upon the daughters to come forward and say, Abba, don't work so hard for me. You don't have to struggle and strive like this. If you're saying that you're waiting for that ring is going to cost you 20,000 rands, you can buy one which is simpler. You don't have to get me that 18 carat and 21 carats. It's your wish. Make dua that Allah makes it possible. But try and help your parents out there. I know so many fathers. So many fathers, they are saving the moment their daughters are born. So how do you live your life? Agar abhi se save na kare, how do they have tawakkul upon Allah Azza wa Jalla? Because for your child's studies, you have to save from the time he's born. Actually, even the time you fall pregnant, they start saving. Open account for your child. Names are decided. School is decided. Everything is decided, right? So, but Mulana Sahib, so many people plan their marriages, and when you're into marriage, you realize things are going different in marriage. What you planned, what you assumed, what you wanted of your marriage is a total opposite of what you are receiving currently. For many people, it's like that, Mulana Sahib. So let's talk about something, another important aspect of marriages. And I think Mulana Sahib should give us some Madani pearls with relation to family planning itself. People who are about to get married, they often make this niyyah, you know what, for 1 year, we don't want no kids. Why? Enjoy life, let's roam around, let's rove around, let's travel, let's be together. And when we get tired of each other, and now we realize, we need that some part. I'm bored ho rahe zindagi mein, hum do hi log hai, humko teesra chahiye, phir hum dua karenge ki hame koi bachcha mil jaye. To aap is hawale se kuch madani pearls irshad farmaye. What do you think about this, Maulana Sahib?
Allah Akbar, lillahi alhamd. Actually, see, sometimes couples, they start off their marriages, and they intend for various reasons that they're not looking towards, or they don't have an intention of immediately having children. And that's understandable, that perhaps you need to understand and hear what the reasoning is. Firstly, it's very important for us to understand this firstly, that we should never feel that we don't have children because we will not be able to sustain them, because we will not be able to feed them, because we won't be able to, to look after them. Because understand that rizq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. sustenance is from Allah subhanahu
wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah. Allah Azza wa Jal will sustain us. Allah Azza wa Jal will sustain our children. He is the one that gives us sustenance. If we think we won't have enough to sustain them, just think we don't even sustain ourselves. Allah Azza wa Jal sustains us. The one who sustains us will sustain our children. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Of course, at the same time, it doesn't mean you must be lazy and not work at all. No, we must do our part.
Yeah.
We must work, we must strive, and Allah Azza wa Jal will give sustenance.
Agree.
So that shouldn't be a reason that holds us back. But sometimes people want a little bit of delay. Now what Maulana Saab mentioned, that they'll say maybe for the first year, we don't want to have children. I feel like that in South African society is fairly understandable. The difficult part is where people mentioned for the first 5 years and for the first 7 years, we've gone to that extent. So the question is, firstly, marriage has already become delayed so much. From a time previously when marriage was at a much earlier age, now marriage is at a much later age. After marrying at a late age, imagine the person who's marrying at 30 and 33, and then they are going to wait 7 years for children. We are going to think about having children when we are 40. And by that age, we've already gained aches and pains. Those who have reached 40 already, you know that we've gained aches and pains, that our backs are not the same that it used to be. Our legs don't function the same way that it used to function. Our arms are not the same. Our minds are not the same. So many things have changed. And at that age, we want to run around with little children.
Oh.
At that age, we think we're going to start our lives up with children. So we shouldn't be looking at, at a very late stage in life, we want to have children. Children are a blessing in life, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives children, then we should be happy and we should accept those children. Of course, it should never be such, and this is another fear, that when we start looking towards family planning, and I'm not saying that it's not allowed, just think within what means and, what times we are looking at and what means and what, for what reasons. Then indeed, these things can be allowed. But when we're looking towards having children early or having children late, just don't think that sometimes we're so bent on not having children for 5 years that after 3 years, the wife falls pregnant and the husband is very upset. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah Ta'ala gave you a gift and we're upset about it. Allah Ta'ala is giving us a life. Allah Ta'ala is giving us children. And at that point, we're upset because it wasn't according to our plan. For once, start to learn.
Yep.
Start to learn that my plan means nothing and my plan is not great, my plan is not good.
Yep.
What Allah Azza wa Jal has said for me, that is best. I'm happy with the will of Allah Rabbul Izzah. And so this is what we should develop. We should develop that Alhamdulillah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us children, then we are happy with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will welcome those children. We will love those children. We will be happy to make that announcement. We won't be unhappy. Sometimes it's, okay, we have to put a smile on our face, but we're displeased because it wasn't according to our plan. No. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, that is what we want. What Allah Azza wa Jal loves for us, that is what we love for ourselves. And this mentality, when it comes in, inshallah, we'll see a lot of positivity.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're seeing the negativity because we are bent on certain ideas.
Yes.
We need to adjust those ideas.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. So we should accept.
Most definitely.
The moment we are blessed with this news and khush khabri of having an awlad, then a person should place all his tawakkul and trust upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. Subhanallah. Girls are rahmat, Mawlana Sahib.
Alhamdulillah.
Boys are ni'mat and blessings. Allahu Akbar. What type of bounties? Allah, Allah, Allah. So you would often see in society some who are strong, extremely strong financially, Allah has deprived them of awlad. On the other hand, we see some weak people and they are blessed with awlad. It's just amazing. This is the justice of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the nizam of Allah. Sometimes He may give you a single child, sometimes He may give you twins, triplets, pairs, girl and boys, or just two girls or two boys. It's up to Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is His will.
Absolutely.
As He wishes. Yeah.
Actually, I've seen sometimes, mashallah, some people, they get married and within a short while, Allah Ta'ala blesses them with children. I've had a close friend to myself as well, that he married and within a short while after marriage, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with twins.
Jabba.
And it was, everybody was taken aback. How will he manage? How will they cope with twins? But the reality is that Allah Ta'ala does not burden any soul with more than it can bear, isn't it?
Allah Ta'ala divine promise of Allah.
لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, Allah Azza wa Jal has given you the ability to manage as well. And so, I see in today as well that same friend, alhamdulillah, that many people thought, how will he manage? Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given him the strength and he is managing and you are coping. So when you do have children, Allah Ta'ala will bless you with the ability and the strength to be able to look after them.
Alhamdulillah.
Don't fear that Allah will give me children and then I'll be alone. No. Allah Azza wa Jal, as He gave you children, He will help you to get through with it as well.
And if the niyat is my figure should not be spoiled and I should not, you know, disfigure this figure which I have got naturally, you know, I have to have sleepless nights and all of that stories. Just place your trust upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. Really speaking, subhanAllah, our lives are a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. In fact, Mawlana Sahib, there are people who had family planning that for 7-8 years, we don't want to have no children.
Right.
And guess what? When they intended to have, not you leave alone 7 years, after 3 years, they said, no, okay, now we want a child.
Mm.
They could not fall pregnant.
Ah, this is also...
Medically, initially, there was nothing wrong.
Mm.
That person may have went for checks and everything was revealed as if everything is fine.
Mm.
But this was because you had taken this into your own hands. You have damaged your own body.
This is also a problem that many people do face. And we must understand the reality of it. It's not something that we should hide from. Mm. That along with people intending family planning by different ways, sometimes medicines are taken in order to adjust, you know, hormone levels. And eventually, sometimes when people want to fall pregnant, they want to have children, that they are unable to have children anymore. And so we realize that sometimes we must try not to take too much in our own hands. Mm. Sometimes taking too much in our own hands also causes much difficulty for ourselves. Mm. And of course, once again, with regards to these things that are medical, do consult a physician before you go ahead with these things. Don't go into things thinking that we are experts in fields that we are not experts in. So ensure that you do consult physicians. But again, very importantly, try not to take too much in our own hands.
Yeah.
Rely upon Allah Rabbul Izzah.
MashaAllah.
He gave us, He sustains us. If He gives us children, He will give those children too. He will sustain those children too. And He will give us the capability to be able to manage with those children as well. If we are just worried about our figure and so on, our figures are going to go off within a little while.
Either
if
way.
Not 5 years, then in 10 years time, we're not going to be the same. We're going to look different. Rather, at least by that time, have such a great investment for your dunya and your akhirah that you can say, Alhamdulillah, I have another child in this dunya. And people are now, I feel like they're afraid to have many children. Why? Because I need to sustain, I need to look after it, cost of living is high. Allah Ta'ala is going to sustain them, number one. Number two, the beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I will be proud of the large numbers of my ummah on Yawmul Qiyamah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to be proud of the large numbers of his ummah, don't we also want to feel that Alhamdulillah, I also was a means of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam being proud of his ummah?
MashaAllah. Beautiful point.
When you think like that, then you don't think that I want one child because I can't sustain after that.
Beautiful. No. MashaAllah.
My beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam should look at my family as well and say, this is part of my ummah. It is because of families like you that I am proud that my ummah has such love.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. But together with this, if anyone has any danger in terms of medical health,
almost,
and by falling pregnant, you might put your life into danger, then it's one of those things. However, awlad is blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the divine promise as Mawlana Sahib translated and mentioned, that Allah will provide you with rozi and provide for your awlad, for your children. You are just the sabab and the reason to earn. But that rozi comes from Allah azza wa jalla.
Absolutely.
That child that has been born, that baby has come with his own rozi, Mawlana Sahib. You are just the means to... You are the means to bring in that funding and that money and wealth to groom and nurture your child. But where did it come from? Your hard work, but the effort, yani from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that reward comes from Allah, the blessings come from Allah, the sustenance come from our Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So tell you, Mawlana Sahib, another straightforward question. I don't know, Mawlana Sahib might... Subhanallah. I was trying to avoid this question, but it's one of those things. You know, I really want to know, and I want to learn from Mawlana Sahib as well, you know. Often this question people ask, and what should couples expect from each other? Expectations are before nikah. When you're married and then you realize, yo, what I've expected, it never turned out to be like that from either sides. Because it's just a dream a person has after seeing hundreds of marriages maybe, or people that you know, or you have seen some videos on your phone and then you have a picture painted in your mind, yo, this is like a bed of roses, you know, it has to be like this. What are expectations? I feel like I don't see togetherness in the deen from couples. From inception, from day one, when that nikah is performed, they have drunken the sharbat, went home, and now the hall is closed, the nikah is done. The next morning, from the very next day after nikah, there is a chase, Mawlana Sahib. The chase is dunya, the chase is not disappointing your wife. Every man, I'm a man, alhamdulillah, and I feel for other men out there. What it feels to be married and what it feels to be the provider is honestly being put in a very high pedestal, Mullah Sahib. You know, it's a responsibility, to be honest. But if you have a wife who's very supportive and who says to you, don't worry, it's fine if you never have eat out this weekend. For example, you wasn't able to take me out and make me happy, but I'm still very happy with you. Sometimes the Islamic sister should maybe say this in order for the husband to have some good expectations from the wife. But his expectation is already there that, you know what, my wife expects this from me, that this weekend or this month or this year, I'm to do this for her.
Mm.
And many a times, it's not really like that. The wife really didn't ask for that. But he wants to fulfill this dream.
Mm.
He wants to show his wife that I'm the one that loves you the most in the world. You can travel from west to east, north, south. You're never going to find anyone on this planet who loves you more than I do, right? So, isko sabit karne ke liye, he wants to bring the moon and the stars and all of that. But he cannot do it for some reason.
Right.
Expectation, the wife expects for, now in this janjat, I'm saying this janjat like a situation of mm-hmm. getting things done, you're going to face depression, you're going to face disappointments, you're going to face some sleepless nights, because to get money isn't easy, Mulana.
Mm.
To make money isn't easy. It doesn't grow on the tree. You got to work for it.
Mm.
And especially to fulfill the demand of a wife over and above, Mulana. So can Mohsab shed some light with regards to how and why or what type of expectation should we have from each other? When will the togetherness in the deen come about? Because we have like about 4 minutes before we end, Mulana.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah for telling me the time.
Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen.
I don't have to go too far. But Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Actually, there's some different aspects within
right.
the same question, right?
Right.
I'm going to focus on one initially, that what kind of goals we should set in order to have positive expectations.
Right.
Many a times we set goals, and we set goals that unfortunately are in only a dunyavi direction, only a worldly direction. So we set goals with regards to finances, with regards to house, with regards to car, with regards to furniture, with regards to education for our children, university, schools, etc. But we haven't really set goals with regards to our deen.
Oh.
And if we set goals with regards to our deen, then only will you start working towards those goals.
Yeah, but
if you don't have the goal, we're not going to work towards it. So set those goals. One of the beautiful goals I would suggest that you can set for your deen with regards to your deen is that you love your spouse, isn't it? Even if you ask your spouse, do you love me? Your spouse will most likely say, I'm hopeful, that yes, I do. And you would say, I love my spouse, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So you want to spend time together, isn't it? Yes, most definitely, you want to spend time together. Why are we limiting our time to this dunya? Why don't we spend time together in Akhirah as well?
Mm.
Why don't we spend time together in Jannah as well? So how are we going to get that?
Hmm.
If we are deen inclined, if we ensure that we are doing that which the deen demands, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure lies in, if we do those things, then inshallah azawajal will get that. And for that, we're going to have to encourage each other. Don't
Definitely.
Think that I'm only going to be musalli, I'm going to perform salah with that, my wife can miss salah. I will recite Quran, my wife doesn't have to have attachment to Quran. I will recite salawat, I'm not worried about them. Oh, the wife towards the husband thinking this way. No. Whenever we try to do good, also try to bring them into good. And what's very important is that we set rules and regulations for everything. Just make your life simple. Our constitution, let your spouse know, and you and your spouse need to sit together and actually discuss this formally. Our constitution is the deen of Islam. Our constitution is the deen of Islam. Countries run on constitutions, and that's how they can be successful. Marriage also needs its constitution. You don't have to write one. You don't have to build one. The deen of Islam is there. When I go off, you correct me. When you go off, I will correct you. We will work together to ensure that we earn the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla together so that we can enter Jannah together as well. The next question that one has posed within that, what sort of expectations to have? Aside from this, one is the deen of Islam being our constitution. Mm. That goes without saying. Other than that, just a very brief advice you can say within maybe two sentences. Worldly expectations, have no expectations. With regards to worldly expectations, have no expectations.
Mm.
Expect that you need to do. Be one who does, be one who gives. Do, show kindness, show love, show mahabba. But don't expect anything from the next person and let your spouse do the same. Do for your spouse. Don't expect anything. Don't live with high expectations of the next person. That's going to cause depression and difficulties when they don't meet the expectations. Be one who gives. Be one who does. Be one who places the deen first and tries to ensure that my goal is bigger than taking my wife to Paris and to London and to America and to South Africa. My goal is to take my wife to Jannah. Let the wife think that way. My goal is not that my husband has to only have the most delicious foods here. He must eat the delicious foods of Jannah. I'm going to work with him and he's going to work with me in order for us both to get to Jannah and enjoy the ni'mas of Jannah.
MashaAllah, you use your time very beautifully, Maulana Sahib. MashaAllah, on the dot, and I think very loud and clear.
Alhamdulillah.
With beautiful explanation, and Allah Kareem give us tawfiq to practice what we have just heard. Teri ajzi pe lakho, teri sadagi pe lakho, ho salam ajzana. Madani Madile Wale. May Allah Kareem, for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may make us simple people, dear viewers. Simplicity is great, subhanAllah. Adopt simplicity and you shall see its blessings. May Allah Kareem give us the richness in our hearts with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love to follow and abide by his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah forgive our sins and may provide barakah and blessings in our nikah. For those who are to be married, may Allah provide you with pious spouses.
Ameen.
And for those who are not married, please look into this inshallah azawajalla. You will see immense blessings and barakah. Until stay good, be good, do good. Maulana Sahib, shukran. Once again, keep reciting the Rudi Park. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam.
Reformation of Ummah. Ummah. Reformation of Ummah. Ummah. Reformation of Ummah.